Well, we'll give a few opportunity to get logged on. I think that part of the problem with all of these streaming is everyone's doing it right now, and that World Wide Web isn't as big as of a highway as they thought it was, and it's getting bogged down. I don't know. It's good. Sounds good. It's good in theory. I'm not sure all the issues with it, but Sister Sarah, you seeing it yet? Is it back on? Okay. So, amen. Lord willing, we'll get going. If you got a hymn book with you, turn it over to page number 374. 374. I hope that you've had a good week, a good Wednesday night service, and still praying about everything, still trying to figure out what direction we need to go and what's best for for Northside Baptist Church. I'll be honest with you, I don't care what other churches are doing. I don't care what other stores are doing. It's what the Lord has best for us, and we want to be wise. So we'll just be patient and see what the Lord will do. I do want to tell everyone Happy Mother's Day, at least those that it's applicable to. I don't know how many. Brother Stephen, I guess, would be the newest in the church as far as they have the twins, but I don't know if he wants a Happy Mother's Day today or not. But do want to wish everyone a Happy Mother's Day. It's good to have you with us today, and hope that your family has made it a special time for you. In the midst of all the confusion and uncertainty that's going on, I'm thankful that we still have a God on the throne, and I'm thankful for the family He's given me. Amen. 374, send the light as we get ready here. 374, send the light. If you're willing and able, let's stand as we sing this first song, and we'll get started here. There's a call comes ringing over the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Hold on. Jacob and I practice this, and I can hit it dead on every time. But every time he goes to play, when we get up here, I don't know. Maybe it's because you're joining us. I don't know. But anyway, let's start it again. Here we go. There's a call comes ringing over the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. On the third, let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a gold-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. On the last, let us grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light.
Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Amen.
Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. Your grace and Your mercy that You bestow upon us, Lord. I'm thankful for this special day that we can honor our mothers, Lord, and Father as well. I do pray that You would just help to encourage through the message today, Lord, that You would strengthen us. And Father, it's applicable to both and to all, Lord, really. It's not just those that are mothers and those that are going to be mothers and those that have been mothers, but Lord, instead, it's applicable to all. It's Your word, and Father, it's still a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And Lord, I pray that You would just meet with us this morning, give us a sweet spirit. Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts in a mighty way. I pray for that one that might be here lost and undone, and Lord, that You would show them their way before it's everlasting too late. And Lord, I just pray that You'd meet with us in a special way. And I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Turn to page number 244. I wrote it down wrong. 244, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, 244. I was like, that doesn't sound right. I know better than that. 244, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound.
Hold on. Jacob, hold on a second. Let me start and you come in. I don't know what it is. It's every time I hear that guitar, I'm off key. So I'm going to blame it on him because he's right here by me. But it's really not him. It's just me. But praise the Lord. I'll be honest with you. If you want to talk about a pastor that's ready to throw his glasses down and just stomp a minute, it's me. I've got a headache. I don't feel good. You say, preacher, you got the coronavirus? No, it's called pollen. And I'm sick of not having church. I'm sick of things aren't going right. I'm not the song leader. I'm the preacher, praise God. I don't know what's going on, but I'm just frustrated. So anyway, we're going to sing Amazing Grace. We know it. If it's got to be off a pillow, it's going to be off a pillow. But nonetheless, sing out and I'll sound better. Here we go.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wreck like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. On the third, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to than when we first begun.
Let's praise the Lord.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Amen, amen. I do want to thank everyone. Sorry for my little temper tantrum, my little fit that I was throwing. I will be honest with you, I'm sick and tired of this. I really am. I'm thankful that we can do it, and I'm thankful that the Lord allows it, and technology has given us this opportunity, but I really am. America's gotten tired of it a long time ago. They've quit the social distance way before, or quit the shelter in place way before it was supposed to. They quit, really, even the social distancing. I know that you might stand in the checkout line six feet behind someone, but when you pass someone on the aisle, and I know that there's a one way going through the aisles. However, I'm the one that goes in the exit of the drive-through area, in the parking lots, because I don't see the sign. It's no different when you're shopping in the stores. I don't see it. They put it on the ground. Praise the Lord, I'm not looking at my feet. I'm looking up. And maybe they need to put it to where you can actually see it. But anyway, I'm about tired of this as well. We'll have to figure something out. And I'm just ready to get going, serve the Lord. I feel like we're losing time. I know God's got a purpose with it, and He's definitely taught me some things through it. And maybe one of the things He's even trying to teach me is patience. And so I want you to keep inviting people to watch, and even if it's the fact that you tell them your pastor's about to pull his hair out. I had Sarah cut my hair the other day so that I didn't have much to pull on. And I do promote it and let others know. I do believe that the gospel's still getting preached and others are still being reached, and God's still getting the glory. Today I anticipate a special day for mothers. I'm thankful to be able to celebrate the Mother's Day and just that special time of recognition. I'm thankful for my wife and the mother of my children. And my children don't realize how blessed they are. I think about all the mothers out there, and it bothers me as I think about how many have killed their children. And I'm not talking about just once they're living, but I'm talking about once they're, or before they're ever born. They're already living, just to society standards. In fact, we're getting to that point now in society. They're going to have a 30-day clause, and if they want to kill them before that, I know it's not there yet, but it's getting there. And so just pray for our mothers and pray for our country through that. Now, we got told on Wednesday night that Araceli's having a birthday on Wednesday, so we need to sing happy birthday to her. And I do want to thank everyone for joining us. So let's sing out. We'll sing happy birthday and wish her a happy birthday for Wednesday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Take hymn books if you would. Page 164. 164. Praise Him, praise Him. Amen. 164. And we'll stand as we get ready to sing this last song and see what the Lord has for us today. Praise Him, praise Him. Here we go.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
On the second.
Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and died and bled. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Amen, amen. I want to thank you for singing along with me. Amen. Thank you, Jacob, for putting up with Dad. Amen. Well, don't worry, I didn't sign up for a music contract in Nashville. Praise God, he loves it. He loves to singing to Him. And even when we mess up, and I'll be honest with you, Jacob, if you would turn my pulpit mic off. It does not bother me that I mess up in the fact that I don't care if you laugh at me. Because the truth of the matter is you get up here and do it and see. But the issue that bothers me is I want to do my best for the Lord, and it bothers me to fail Him and not get it where it needs to be. And I am thankful that God accepts us. Listen, every sacrifice we ever raise to Him is not what it's supposed to be in Him. But I'm thankful He accepts us and accepts the sacrifice that we lift up to Him. Take your Bibles, if you would, Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21 is where I want us to start today. Matthew 15 and verse number 21. Now, more than likely, this is going to be a two-part message, so I'm going to go ahead and put it out right from the beginning. I'm going to want you to come back tonight. Now, I always want you to come back tonight anyway, but I really, really, really strongly encourage you to come get the second part. And the reason I say that it's going to be two parts is I've got 6 points here that I want to preach, and I don't know that you can handle it if I preach all of it in this one message. So I'm going to break it up, and we'll just see what the Lord gives us today. And if I preach the first three really fast, I'll tack on the last three, but I just don't see it coming. I don't see it happening, and I think that we'll have two parts here. And Matthew chapter number 15, if you're there, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 15, verse number 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21, it says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, Thou Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He," in verse 23, "answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought Him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, Is it not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs? And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Verse 28, Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You for this day, Lord, a time that we can remember our mothers, Lord. And Father, I do pray that You'd help us, Father, to learn from Your Word and apply it to our heart and our life, Lord. I watch time and time again as someone knows what they need to do and they just don't do it. And yet we know in the Word of God that You teach us that
that to know to do it and do it not, it is a sin. And so, Father, as we come today and we find the truths that are in Your Word, Lord, it would be a sin for us not to apply it to our life, no matter where we are, no matter who we are. And so, Father, I pray that You would help me today. Lord, I am thankful for Your calming Spirit. Lord, as we began to sing Amazing Grace today, I'm just so thankful that it's still amazing all these years after I've been saved. And Lord, I pray that You would just meet with us. Lord, I need a fresh anointing from on high. I pray that You would clear my mind. Lord, this frustration, I think about Saul as he would have that evil spirit come upon him. Lord, that David would play on his harp. Lord, I pray that You would just let me have that sweetness today of Your Spirit within me. Father, fill me today. Give me a fresh anointing. Lord, I pray that You would speak to my heart. But then, Lord, I pray that You would allow me to be Your mouthpiece. And Father, that it would bring glory and honor to You. Father, I pray that You would encourage and strengthen. Lord, I pray for all those listening. Father, I don't want to be a hindrance. I pray You'd hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Lord, that You would speak to their heart no matter where they are, no matter what the situation, Lord. I pray that You wouldn't allow me to be that stumbling block. Instead, Lord, that I could be the mouthpiece to proclaim Your truth, to bring glory to You. And I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We look at this passage of Scripture, and by the time we get here, Jesus has already been rejected by His own countrymen. Now, we could go over to Matthew chapter number 11, and we'll look at that here in greater detail later. But I think about His own countrymen, and He had said that all these mighty works that had been done and all these miracles that they had witnessed, and yet they still did not accept Him as the Messiah. Now, we know that this was Scripture. The Bible tells us in John chapter number 1 and verse number 11 that He came unto His own and His own received Him not. We know that the Old Testament teaches that He was rejected by His own brethren had rejected Him. And so, Israel was going to reject Him. Now listen, I'm not going to preach it today, but I'm thankful that they did, because I'm not from Israel. I'm not Jewish. And so yet I find that He came unto His own and His own received Him not. But it was the fact that He came unto the Gentiles as well. And that same message, and this is where He's heading right now. He's going to an area of Gentiles. And the Bible teaches us here in Matthew 15 and verse number 21, it says that He had departed from where He was and He went into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Now, I want to give you a little bit of background of Tyre and Sidon and begin to understand what's going on and see this. Tyre and Sidon are located on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Tyre means a rock. It was a Phoenician city on the Mediterranean, very ancient, large, splendid, flourishing in commerce, and powerful by land and by sea. It was a city that would have been well known. It was a city that had great success. And we find as well that Sidon means hunting. It's an ancient and wealthy city of Phoenicia on the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It's less than 20 miles to the north of Tyre. And so we find here that Jesus is headed up to this area. First time He's went up there, and he's beginning to come, and because His own had rejected Him. You say, preacher, He's going so that He can preach the gospel to them. No, He's not. In fact, the same account that we're given here in Matthew 15, it's verses 21 through 28. But if you're taking notes, pin down Mark chapter number 7, verse number 24 through 30. It gives us the same account of Jesus going up here to Tyre and Sidon. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 24, the Bible says, "And from thence He arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. But He could not be hid." May I tell you that at this point in time, He wasn't really looking to go out and preach. He was going, and they were going to rest for a little bit. They were going to get some relaxation and some. They were going to come to that place that He was going to an area that He wasn't known. But yet His reputation traveled before Him. Now, we have the saying today that good news travels fast and bad news travels faster. But may I tell you that if you're in that time and you've got someone that's in need of a physician and someone that's in need of medical treatment, someone that needs a miracle, his reputation had already traveled there before he ever got there. And so he has this woman come to him. And I think about the fact that there was some that were healed in Tyre and Sidon. But may I tell you, it wasn't as many as was healed in other areas there, of course, in Jerusalem and Capernaum. And he says in Matthew chapter number 11, in verse number 21, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works would have been done in which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes." And I think about this area and how much needed to be done, but not a lot was done there. There was some work, but I think about America at this point and how much we have the gospel, and everyone's got a Bible in their own language that we can understand. Here in America, I'm speaking about for English-speaking people, and we can have that. And even Spanish-speaking people, there's a Bible in your language, and you can understand that. But yet, I think about some of these other countries that do not have a Bible in their language. They might have some parts of it translated to where they can understand it, and they can take it, and they can enjoy it. But yet, I think about America. And America has rejected the Lord and rejected the truth. The same as was in Jerusalem. The same that was in Bethsaida. The same that was in Capernaum. The same that was around the Sea of Galilee as Jesus had traveled in His earthly ministry. But I find this woman. In Mark chapter number 7, it records her in verse number 25 that she was a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. And so I find here that because his reputation had already traveled there before he made it to Tyre and Sidon, that she comes. She was out of that area. She had heard he was headed up that way. And she comes to where he was, in that house where he had went. That he wasn't there to advertise. There was no neon sign that said that he was at this place. But she had already heard where he was, and she went there, and she came and she fell at his feet. May I tell you, time has not changed. The times are the same. You see, there's many that reject Christ still. I already gave you the example of America, and I know that there's plenty. It's amazing to me how many people are dying to get back in church, but yet when church is going, they're dying to stay out. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but that's the truth of the matter. Then I find that there's so many that have this rejection of Him and reject His truth. They only want what they pick and choose. But what they really want is for someone to come and heal their temporal problems. They want someone to come and work miracles in their life after they ruin it. And yet I find that times are the exact same as they were then. We want to reject Him for what He wants, but we want to have Him do the temporal in our lives. May I tell you, as well as he's still rejected, he still can't be hid. He still cannot be hid. You see, he still has what we need. The truth of the matter is everyone needs to come to him and fall down at his feet and receive him as Savior. And you don't have to do it right now, but there will be a day. You can say, "Preacher, what do you mean I don't have to do it right now?" Well, you don't. It's your choice. You get to choose. Now, you might not get another opportunity, but there will be a day, even if you walk away from here saying, "Preacher, I just don't believe all of that," there will be a day where you're going to bow your knee and you're going to profess that He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you'll fall down then. It'll be too late. You won't receive salvation. You'll receive eternal damnation. But you will profess it one way or the other. You're either going to do it now when you can choose Him as Savior, or you'll do it later and you'll say, "I missed the Savior." But she came to him and she cried out to him. But I find that when she came, there were some things that she didn't expect. And there were some situations that she thought was going to be that wasn't. You see, since this virus has been spreading and everything's been going on, Sister Sarah will make out her grocery list like she always does, but instead of Sister Sarah going to the store, I go to the store. And I go and I've got this shopping list and I look for everything. But may I tell you, there's some things on that shopping list that, well, they're not there. And I know that people have went crazy and just went to the hoarding and boy, I need this. And you watch some ramen noodles come out on a pallet and it's almost like the buzzards there on the road. They don't even want to move when the car's coming by. And they're going to get those and pull them off. And boy, that pallet's gone in no time. It doesn't even matter if it's a nasty flavor. And yet, I think about that shopping list that she'll send me with. And there's some things that I can get and some things that they just don't have. And we expect that. But I believe that this woman made a shopping list that wasn't even a shopping list for the grocery store. But yet she came home with the best thing she could ever come home with. A crumb. A crumb. Now, when she went to the cash register, she couldn't hold a bag and get that crumb. Could you imagine if you was able to go to the bakery and tell them, you know, I guess Jonathan had brought over some Krispy Kreme donuts the other day, and he brought them from his house to our house, so he wouldn't eat them, so we had to. I don't know how that works, but we ate them, and there was a few more of us. I think Jacob had like half a dozen on himself, but he said that they weren't as much as they were supposed to be because there was a hole in the middle. And so we look and we think about this idea of a crumb. Could you imagine going to the bakery and just asking for a crumb? And maybe they wouldn't even put it in a plastic bag, but they'd put it in a little brown paper bag. And that brown paper bag, you'd carry that crumb home and you'd set it down on the table and you would dump that on the table. Actually, I don't even know by the time you'd get home that you'd find that little crumb. But I want to show you today what she did and how she got that crumb and how important it was to bring that crumb home. And so, notice if you would, we find her description. And the first thing that I find is her description. Look at verse number 22. Look at verse number 22. We find in verse number 22 of Matthew chapter 15, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now, think about this for just one moment. Is what we find here is that she was a Gentile. She was a Gentile. In Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 26, the Bible says that the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. I look here and I find that in this woman, being a Gentile, that she was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she wasn't part of the children of God. She wasn't a Jew. And she was a Gentile. Now remember that you're either a Jew or a Gentile. If you're not Jewish, then you're a Gentile. And she was Greek. She was a Syrophoenician. Now, let me give you a little bit of understanding of the Syrophoenicians. The Syrophoenicians were half-breeds. It's almost like the Samaritans with the Israelites, but the Syrophoenicians were half-breeds. They were from Syria and Phoenicia. And so, she wasn't even accepted. Now, I think about this woman. She wasn't accepted by her own. She wasn't accepted by others. She wasn't accepted by the Syrians. She was, or from those from Syria. She wasn't accepted from those from Phoenicia because she was a half-breed. And yet, God put her there so that He could speak to her. May I tell you, I get it that in Mark chapter number 7, it tells us here that in verse 24 where I gave you the fact that he went into a house and have no man know it. I don't know how many men came to him, but I do know of a woman that came to him. And he went there for her. He went there because she had a need. But yet she was a Gentile. And so as I look at her description there, she was this Gentile woman. She wasn't even supposed to be there. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean she wasn't supposed to be there? She wasn't allowed to be around him." No, not just that. It was the fact that she was already supposed to be dead. She was already supposed to be dead. If you would remember when the children of Israel came into the Canaan land and when they came into the promised land, they were supposed to utterly destroy all of the Canaanites. But they didn't destroy them. They didn't get them destroyed. There was many of them that they couldn't destroy. There was many of them that they couldn't remove because of the sin that was in their life. They couldn't remove those thorns that they had. Judges teaches us that there were some thorns that God left some people that God left that would be thorns in their side, thorns to them, because they couldn't remove them because of the sin that was in their life. And yet I find that this woman wasn't even supposed to be alive. She was supposed to be destroyed. In this description, I find as well that she was lost. You say, preacher, why is that? And the Bible tells us here that she was a woman of Canaan. A woman of Canaan. You know who she belonged to? Canaan. You know what I find today? Is there's those that want to profess that they belong to the Lord, but yet they're a woman of the world. They're a man of the world. They're a child of the world. People get mad at me when I tell them that they're like their father, the devil. I know you say, preacher, that's not very nice, but that's okay. If they're not saved, guess who their father is? God's not your father until you get saved. And so, guess who is your father? And may I tell you that we're not even to be friends of the world. I look at this woman and it tells us that she's a woman of Canaan. May I tell you that she wasn't just a friend to Canaan. No, she belonged to Canaan. She was with them. If we would have walked up to the gates of Sodom and Gomorrah and we would have seen Lot, may I tell you that we wouldn't have known that Lot wasn't part of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was already yoked up with them and sacked up with them and just in cahoots with them. In fact, he had came to the place that he was received as leadership of that area. And this woman here, the Bible records her a woman of Canaan. She was a lost woman. She didn't belong to the Lord. She was a woman who belonged to Canaan. And so I find not just her description, but I find her distress in verse 22. In verse number 22, the first distress I want to bring up is her daughter. Her daughter. If you were to look about three quarters of the way through this verse, it says, my daughter. May I tell you her motivation to go to the Savior? Her motivation to go to Christ was her daughter. This is what had distressed her. It was the fact that she had a daughter in need. Now, there's something wrong with society today. There's something wrong when a mother can say that I have a baby in my womb. I have a child growing. And I'm going to abort that child and abort this. They consider it an aborting or a pregnancy. But may I tell you, it's murdering a life. And there's a problem that we have when mothers today don't care for their children. Now, listen to me. I know a lot of lost moms that take care of their children very well. That doesn't mean, well, she was lost, that's why she took care of her child this way. No. I know lost parents that take care of their children. And I know some saved parents that don't. It bothers me when I watch parents that make their children take care of the other children. You say, preacher, it's because they have so many. Hold on a second. God called me to be the dad and mom, and Sarah to be the mom. When we had Jeremiah, Jonathan was 20 and Jacob was 16. We didn't make them dad or caregiver to Jeremiah. We didn't. For one, I didn't want Jeremiah to turn out like Jacob. But the fact of the matter is I was to be dad and Sarah was to be mom. I'm not saying that they didn't help us. Hey, I need the diaper bag. Go get the diaper bag. But Jeremiah wasn't their responsibility. He was ours. And so when we consider this idea here about this woman and her distress, she was concerned for her daughter. Take your Bibles, hold your place in Matthew, but look over in the book of Romans, chapter number 1. What's happened in society today? Well, moms don't want to be moms. I remember that Sister Sarah had often said that her only desire was to be a mom. And so, what's taken place? Romans chapter number 1. Look over at verse number 26. Romans chapter 1, look at verse number 26. Actually, go to verse 25 so I can get the context. And the problem that we have is God is not God anymore. And I would even dare to say in most churches, in most homes, and for sure our country. In verse number 25 of Romans chapter 1, he says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned into their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Notice that. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so I look at several things in here. I look at verse number 26 where the woman changed their natural use into that which is against nature. You say, what's that natural use? Well, I think about Eve. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16, God had told him unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now I realize that some of you are going to tell me, preacher, it's all right for me to have my career, and I'm going to have all of this, and then I'm going to be a mom, and then I'm going to be a wife, and then I'm going to do this. No, hold on a second. That's not how God's designed it. You know the problem that happened to America with women's lib and women's rights and everything, and listen, I'm not a male chauvinist. Don't push unsubscribe and start putting hate mail to me. But listen, God designed it to where the man loves the woman as his own self. And the man loves, and the woman loves him, and she follows him, and she respects him. That's all Ephesians 5. And the Bible teaches us that the way that it's designed. Oh, by the way, Eve is named Eve because she was the life giver, if you would. She was the mother that everyone came from. May I tell you that society has it all mixed up, and they've polluted and they've corrupted, and homosexuality, let's adopt and let's redefine what marriage is and let's redefine what family is. But God still has a design. Everything's the way it's supposed to be according to God. But man has polluted it. Man has corrupted it. And in this idea, this woman's desire was to help her daughter. Her distress was because her daughter was sick. Her distress was because her daughter needed help. Her distress wasn't because her career wasn't succeeding. Her distress wasn't because she didn't have a nice enough vehicle. Her distress wasn't because of the problems that she had in succeeding in her desires and her goals that she had set. Her distress was the fact that she loved her child more than anything else. And that child needed help. Oh, Lord, help us today. Children are still a gift from God. I look here and I think about this. She was concerned about her daughter, and I gave you in Mark chapter number 7 and verse number 25 that her daughter was young. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've been concerned when my children were young. I think about Jeremiah now, and my children were young, and I'm very concerned about them, and I don't want him to get hurt. There's some things that you put those areas of guidance, put him some borders and some boundaries in there, and let him learn some things. We were up at the farm yesterday for a little bit, and a lot of briars had grown up since my truck's been broke down, we had went out there, and it was getting dark, and he would want to grab some of the long weeds, and we had told him, Jeremiah, that's a briar, that's going to get you. And So, well, he let that one go, but then the next one kind of poked him a little bit. And some of that is, okay, I'm concerned. You're just going to have to learn some of these things. And mom and dad told you that's not the one you want. But I think about her concern for a young daughter. And boy, I'm definitely concerned as they're there. I want to make sure that everything's safe. I want to make sure that everything's good. We're going to provide the meal for them. We're going to provide everything that they need. But may I tell you that what I found as my children have gotten older, that I was concerned and she was concerned for that young daughter. But then I find that as our children get older, we're very concerned. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, I want you to see this when we look at the devil that grievously vexed her daughter. I want us to understand that there's a need to be very concerned. Now, to be honest with you, I'm not really concerned as Jacob goes to work. I'm not really concerned as John might drive back and forth or all of these things. But I do think about the need to be concerned because her distress wasn't just for her daughter. Her distress was also over the devil. She was distressed by the devil. Notice this. Look at verse 22. In verse 22 of the book of Matthew, chapter number 15, the Bible says that my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now, I find this brings us to the idea in being grievously vexed. Well, let me give you the definitions. Grievously means with pain, painfully, or with great pain or distress, as to be grievously afflicted. Now that word vexed simply means teased, provoked, irritated, troubled, agitated, disquieted, afflicted. Now I want you to think about it for a moment. That devil is an influence even when he can't come and get into our children. Even when God has put a hedge about, may I tell you, that devil can throw some influences out there. I'm telling you that the devil can put some places and put some influences and put some ideas and some things in their mind. And I'm concerned when they're young, but I'm very concerned when they're old. And I look at this and this distress that she had. Oh, this devil was the reason for the distress. It was her daughter that was being afflicted, and it was her daughter that had the great pain, and it was her daughter. But may I tell you, as a parent, there was great pain watching. There was great pain in the helplessness. May I tell you that our children can't stay long as Satan torments them day in and day out. And before them, he sets these detours. And he sets this idea of compromise. How many times as a parent do we teach them that it's okay to compromise? Well, you can have this much of the world. May I tell you, what we need to teach them is that this much of the world still brings death. This much of sin is still unacceptable. Now, I know you're going to say, preacher, you think that your children don't sin? No, I think they're sinners. But I do know that I've taught them that all sin is bad. Because it's a little leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. And I don't want any sin to destroy them. And yet I know that every sin can. And so as I think about God's desire here, and as I consider what God's speaking to us about, may I tell you, as a parent, as a mother today, it would do us good to get a little bit distressed over our children. You say, preacher, my children are already grown. My children aren't very young anymore. My children have already made decisions on their own. Oh, when's the last time, Mama, that you came and you cried and you fell down before the Lord and you cried out and said, my child's grievously vexed by a devil? And then I think as well, in this distress, it wasn't just because of her daughter. It wasn't just because of the devil. But I find that she was distressed because of her defeat. You say, preacher, what do you mean because of her defeat? I find she was helpless. And may I tell you, that's the same way we are today. As much as I really can't help any physical ailment that my children would get, I also can't help any spiritual ailment my children would get. You see, I'm no match for the devil. Do you know that she was defeated? I guarantee you, because she came because her child was sick. Her child was in need. And she came because this devil was doing this, but she came because she had already exhausted every other means. I think about that woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years. And she had spent all of the money she had had. She had went to the best of the physicians and couldn't get any relief, couldn't get any help. This mother would have been in that same case. Who's out there that would have a child that needs you and you sit by and you do nothing? And so I look and I think about this woman and I think about her defeat. And I realized the distress that she had was because she was so helpless. There was not a thing she could do to make it better. And so I look and I find as well, as she's bringing home a crumb, she had to find who she was. She had to acknowledge this distress that was in her life. But then she had to go through this discouragement as well. Look, if you would, at verse number 23 of our text. I find in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 23, the first discouragement that she had was silence. Verse 23, it says, "But he answered her not a word." The hardest thing that we can ever go through is silence. Silence. Just sitting back and waiting. I think about her, the last thing she had said to him. Listen, verse 22. She said, "My daughter is grievously vexed by a devil." In verse number 23, he said not a word. I don't even know that he looked up. I don't know what his actions would have been. I don't know that he did anything. Didn't even make a grunt. Didn't make any kind of acknowledgement that she had even spoke a word. You want to talk about discouragement? "Lord, I'm crying out to you. I need help. I'm coming to you the only way that I've heard that I can come. Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me." It worked for the blind man. It worked for the deaf man. It worked for the lame man. But you won't even say a word. And that silence that came, you don't even know how long. In verse 24 and 25, I mean, it just comes right behind it. But you don't know how long the wait was. In verse number 23 or 22, she says, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." But he answered her not a word. We don't know when he finally spake to her. I know we have it in verse 24. But we don't know how long of a period of time. I wonder how many times we cry out for our loved one. We cry out for our child. And it seems like God doesn't even hear us. Because he doesn't ever say a word. You want to talk about discouragement? "Lord, do you not see the need? Lord, I've came to you. I'm putting my faith in you." And he said not a word. Now you say, "Preacher, this is just awful." Listen to me. God had her go through this for a reason. And I'll have to show you that tonight. But God had her go through this for a reason so that she could come to the place where she could bring that crumb home to her. To her daughter that needed it. In verse number 24, we find the next discouragement. May I tell you that she's being discouraged from the master himself. She was discouraged by his silence, but then she was even discouraged by his refusal. Look at verse 24. "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Could you imagine if God was to tell you that "I can't do for you what I can do for someone else"? Now listen to me. He's building her faith. But could you imagine if God said that Jacob I loved. Esau I hated. Could you imagine if God said, there's no way that I can do for you what I can do for someone else? He said, but I've come for the lost sheep of Israel. And you're not of that flock. I'm thankful for John chapter number 10 that he said, there's a flock that you know not of. There's a flock that you don't know about. It's not just the flock of Israel. Oh, but there's a Gentile flock. She didn't know about that flock yet either. And so I look here and I find the discouragement that she's going through. She's discouraged from the master in his silence. She's discouraged in verse 24 from his refusal. She's even discouraged from verse 26, his reproach. Look at verse 25 so you can get the context here. The Bible says, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. He told her that, look, I've only came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she says, Lord, help me. Do you hear her today? Do you hear the pain that she has? She's crying out not for her own help, but for the help of her daughter. She says, oh, Lord, help me. Look at verse 26. Verse 26, he gives the reason why. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. What a reproach. I know these words seem like it would be really hard. These words seem like they would just be devastating. Lord, not only can't you help me, but now you're saying I'm not even worth help. Lord, you've refused me, but now you've even cast me aside. And yet we know in John chapter 6 and verse 37, he says, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. But yet sure sounds like it to me. He says, no. No, I can't take this good gift that I've given and give it to those that aren't worthy to have it. I've came for the lost sheep of Israel, not for the dogs of the Gentiles. May I tell you, she was discouraged by the master. And then I find that she even found discouragement from the members. I've told you before, your pastor's not perfect. There's going to be some times your pastor's going to get under your skin. If I'm stepping on your toes because I preach the Word of God, so be it. But may I tell you, there's sometimes my personality, I'm kind of short to snap sometimes. I'm kind of like Peter was. I can put my foot in my mouth. There's no church that's perfect. I think I said that on Wednesday night. If you found one that's perfect, you better get out of it. You're going to mess it up. Verse number 23. And he answered her not a word. But notice this. Look at what the disciples did. The disciples came. They didn't try to comfort her. They came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. How many times do we have the opportunity to help? And we look to the Lord and we say, Lord, send her away. I don't want to deal with this. Look at this. She's crying after us. She's going to be an embarrassment. I mean, if she keeps crying out, you already said, Lord, you didn't want anyone to know. And she's already heard and she's came and now she's here and now she's making a scene. She didn't get any encouragement from the members. And they didn't tell her, all right, hold on a second. This is how you're going to get some encouragement from him. This is how you're going to get him to heal your daughter. This is what you're going to need to do. Just keep a going. Just keep a being faithful. Just keep a asking. Just keep a going. And he's going to show you the way. Nope, they didn't do that at all. They said, Lord, let's send her away. We can't do it, but you can. Tell her that just to get lost. They didn't care about her daughter. You know, I'm thankful our church is a family, and I believe that that's the way God has it set up. is that the church is supposed to be a family. And I know that there's some that are we're closer with than others, and I'm sorry, it's just kind of the way that it works, and some get closer than others. And I mean, the Bible does teach us that if you're going to have a friend, you're going to show yourself friendly. You go out there and hug the tree, and well, it's a tree, it's not going to hug you back. There's some people you try to love on, and they just don't love you back. They sit there like a bump on the log. I can't help it. We'll try to be friendly to you. But listen to me. As a church, I think about the members. Do we care one for another? You know, not a single one of those disciples cared for her daughter. They just said, "Get her out of our hair, Lord." You want to talk about discouragement? It's discouraging. She didn't get any help at all. She came to the only one that she had left to help her. And not only did he was silent, didn't even, just ignored everything that she had. And then she heard that refusal, and then she heard a reproach. And then the members that are around him, he didn't give her any encouragement. But I'm thankful that she kept going. I'm not going to preach the rest of it right now. You've got to come back tonight, but listen to me. She didn't quit. She kept going because she needed to take a crumb home. Just a little bitty crumb. Now, I looked up this word, the crumb. It's only mentioned three times. Three times in the Bible. Crumbs. It's found in Matthew chapter number 15. It's found in Mark chapter number 7. And it's found in Luke chapter number 16. I think about this woman as she was looking there, and all she wanted was a crumb that fell from the master's table. I think about this third account that I gave you in Luke chapter number 16. The third time that it's mentioned in the Bible, that word crumbs, is mentioned when Lazarus was eating the crumbs from the rich man's table. And may I tell you that if we'd understand today that our children don't need friends. They don't even need a mom and dad that's their best friend. No, what they need today is a mom and dad that's going to bring them a crumb, that's going to show them eternal life and heal them for all eternity. Oh, my dear friend, you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Today is that day. The Bible teaches us that today is the day of salvation. Do not wait for tomorrow. May I tell you that the Master didn't stay in Tyre and Sidon, but He's here today. He wants to save you for all eternity. And you too could take a crumb home. Are you willing to come to Him? And you say, "Preacher, it didn't sound very good. Boy, He didn't give her any encouragement whatsoever." Oh, just come back tonight and see what He does. And see how she's able to take this crumb. And this little bitty crumb that she carries home to her daughter not only saved her daughter, but it saved her before she ever got it. Oh, my dear friend, would you come? Trust in Him for eternal salvation. Not because you're a member of the church, not because you've been baptized, but because you've just trusted Him and what He said He would do. You know why she came? She heard of Him. Why'd you come today? You had heard of Him. Would you come? Accept Him for that free gift of eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know that in your life personally? Moms, do you know that? Your child doesn't need you to be super mom, doesn't need you to be their age. They need you to be saved so that you can bring a crumb home to them. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank You. I need Your strength and I need Your wisdom today. Lord, help us, meet with us. And Lord, I pray, just show us the truth from Your Word. Lord, I pray for that one that might be lost and undone. Lord, that You would show them their need before it's everlasting too late. Lord, I just ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.